Well, it is finally here, the day that we wait all week long for, Finally Friday. And that means it's time for the Finally Friday edition of Glass Half Full, an ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, Jordan Glass. Thanks so much for tuning in. And let's just jump right into it. Last night, had some exciting games inside the NBA. The Cleveland Cavaliers. It's a night of first, really, in the NBA for the playoffs. The Cleveland Cavaliers win their first road playoff game of the year. So that's big for them on the road against Boston, 118-94. Big commanding win for them there to tie the series up at one game apiece. Donovan Mitchell, big night for the Cavs. I mean, he's had just big night after night after night after night. You can't go through the playoffs watching the Cleveland Cavaliers without seeing Donovan Mitchell have a big night. 29 points for him in that game. Still no Porzingis for the Celtics. Mobley did get the start last night in his place and scored 11 points for Boston. So not really too big of a hit there that Porzingis isn't in. But again, that's your main big guy there in the paint. You want to get him back as quick as possible, but still missing his third straight game with that calf strain. So we'll see if he continues to sit out or if he'll finally eventually get back onto the court in this series. But it is tied 1-1. And just shout out to Cleveland, right? Because after game one of this series, really thought that maybe Boston was going to take control and just run through this series and not have any problem at all with the way that game one went. But Cleveland did a nice job, not only bouncing back, but bouncing back while still being on the road. And like I said, it was their first road win in the postseason because every game they played there against the Orlando Magic in Orlando in that opening round, they lost those games, right? They lost those three games. And now, obviously, they lost game one to open this series in Boston, and they were able to get it last night, though. The other first inside the NBA playoffs, Oklahoma City Thunder finally losing their first playoff game as Dallas beats them 119-110. Doncic, a big turnaround game for him. It struggled with, what, five or six turnovers in game one. Really came out after the game, said need to do better and will do better. And that he did. 29 points, 10 rebounds. Matter of fact, he was doing so well last night that the Oklahoma City faithful started to boo him a little bit. And he just said after the game, oh, I love that. Keep doing that. Please do more of that. With a double-double of 29 points and 10 rebounds, I would say that probably was definitely a motivating factor for him. Also, the Mavs got big help from P.J. Washington. He had 29 points of his own as well. So two big scores right there for the Mavs. And like I said, Oklahoma City had been rolling through the postseason. They swept the Pelicans and came into this series game one against the Mavs. Looks like they weren't going to have any issue. Won that game pretty handily. But Dallas bounced back, and that's exactly kind of what OKC expected. They talked about it after the game and said, look, that's a good team over there in Dallas. We knew they were going to bounce back. They did. They bounced back. They played well. We didn't. That's the bottom line. So definitely looking forward to this series. Looks like Dallas has got a little juice and momentum. So maybe two series is that after game one between the Cavs and the Celtics and Dallas and OKC. Two series after game one, so we thought maybe might be duds, but turns out looks like they might actually be pretty fun to watch. In the NHL postseason, the Rangers take care of Carolina 3-2. New York just flying through. I mean, you got to look at New York and see them as one of the, if not the odds-on favorite to win the Stanley Cup this year. Got a commanding 3-0 lead in that series against the Hurricanes. So they're just one game away from sweeping the Hurricanes and taking that next step towards playing for the Stanley Cup. The Dallas Stars, they tie up their series with the Colorado Avalanche. 5-3 win at home for the Stars in that game. So definitely some great series is happening right now. Outside of that Rangers-Carolina series, some pretty good ones happening inside the NHL. Some crazy news that I saw when doing show prep for today's show. You remember Glenn Big Baby Davis, right? Played for the Celtics, helped them win a championship back in 2008. He has actually been sentenced to 40 months in jail for a fraud scheme. Yeah, so apparently he was trying to fraud some people out of some money, And he was not the only one. As a matter of fact, Terrence Williams and Keon Dooling, who also played in the NBA, were all a part of this scheme. And Terrence Williams actually got the heavier of the prison sentences of them all because he was kind of the ringleader. So they definitely made an example out of him. He's spending a lot of time in jail. And Glenn Big Baby Davis is only going to be spending 40 months, but he will then have 3 years of supervised release. Part of those provisions of the supervised release, if you will, he's got to take financial management classes, and he's got to have regular drug testing as well as part of that supervised release. And I think the most heartbreaking thing about this was what he said to the judge after the judge gave his sentencing. You know, this was a situation where he was very emotional in the courtroom. And he told the judge, when I lost basketball, I lost who I was. And then he looked at the judge and he asked the judge, he said, please help me find who I am. So he's actually asking for help. He's asking for somebody to help him kind of find his way now that he's no longer playing in the NBA. And it's heartbreaking to hear somebody say something like that in this type of situation. Probably just got caught up doing something with, you know, wrong group of guys and just got mixed into it. But, that's just, man, when I read that, I was like, oh, man, I lost basketball. I lost myself. Please help me find myself. Man, that's something right out of a movie that'll get you in the feels every single time. He also, by the way, does have to pay around $80,000 in restitutions to the victims of the schemes as well. So Glenn Big Baby Davis head into prison for 40 months, and then he'll have 30 years supervised release once he gets out. Mike Trout, you may recall last week we talked about Mike Trout with a torn meniscus, and he opted to have surgery, which is going to keep him out at least 4 to 6 weeks of the Major League Baseball season. Decided to make that choice, really honestly and truthfully, after sitting down with the Angels and kind of going through what his options were. It was have the surgery and miss a good chunk of the middle of the season, or you don't play out in the field anymore and you're just a DH for the whole season, for the whole year, and then take care of it once the season is over, whether that's if the Angels make the postseason or if they don't. He decided, you know what, I'm going to have the surgery. I'm going to go the route of having the surgery. I'm going to miss the middle chunk of the season. That way I can get back out there and play the position that I've always played, that I love to play. And I don't blame him one bit for this. Look, I mean, I'm sure it'd probably be fun to be the DH for a little while. But, I mean, eventually you want to get out there in the field. You want to get out there. Plus, here's the thing. Even with being the DH, that torn meniscus is still going to bother him. It's still going to be an issue for him. It's going to be something that, you know, you do a lot of, you know, there's a lot of torque on your body, not just your waist and your midsection, but in your knees as well when you swing a baseball bat. So if you have a torn anything in your knee, it's going to be painful. It's going to bother you. So it's the smart decision here. Yeah, why go through and be in pain all year as a DH? When you could just go and have the surgery, miss a few weeks, rehab it, get it back to being completely healthy, and then not only be able to be healthy at the plate, but be healthy out in the field with a glove on your hand as well. I mean, it's a no-brainer situation here. I think Mike Trout made the right choice deciding to go ahead and have that surgery. I know there's probably a lot of fans that are, you know, not necessarily thrilled with him being out, as fans can do and fans can be at times when key players or big-name players get injured on their favorite team's roster. But at the end of the day, you got to look at it and you got to say, you know what, what's best for me? Continue to play the rest of the year as a DH in pain, or have surgery, miss a few weeks, and be completely healthy when I do come back? And healthy, by the way, is not a word that's been in Mike Trout's vocabulary the last few seasons. Ever since COVID. And we talked about this a little bit last week when the news broke about his meniscus tear. You know, he has been a guy since COVID. It's been one thing after the other, whether it's a shoulder, whether it's a back, whether it's an ankle, now a knee. You know, it's one thing after the other out of like almost 500 regular season games that have been played in Major League Baseball since COVID. He's only played in like 220, 230 of them. So, what, right around like half of the games that have been played since COVID, he's been a part of, and he's missed the other half. So with Mike Trout, you know, you get the surgery done on your knee. It gives you time to, if your shoulder's a little banged up or if your back's a little, you know, tight on you or whatever, you can kind of get some work done on that as well, some physical therapy and stuff done on that to try to help relieve that and help fix that as well. It gives you a little R&R, rest your body, get fully, completely healthy, and then come back and finish out the season for the Angels. And I think, again, smart choice by Mike Trout. So he decided to have that surgery instead of just going the route of being a DH. I want to continue a theme that we kind of started last week, and that was way too early looks. You know, last week on Friday, we did a way too early look at the UWF football season, kind of looking at what they may look like throughout the season and some things to kind of expect once the season gets kicked off. I want to move up now to the NFL, and I want to do a way too early power ranking for the NFL. I've seen a couple of these online. So I definitely want to just kind of run through and take a look at some of these teams. Only really going to do the top 10 on today's show. So we're only going to look at the top 10, but definitely some interesting teams, at least on this particular list that I saw as far as a way too early NFL power ranking. We'll start it at number one, Kansas City with the Chiefs. You're back-to-back reigning Super Bowl champions. I mean, there's not a lot to be said here. There's no real surprise with them being number one. They've just drafted Xavier Worthy to be another weapon on offense. Definitely going to be a guy that can kind of fill in that Tyreek Hill hole that seems like they've always been trying to find somebody ever since he left. They brought in Kadarius Toney, you know, because he was kind of that shifty, small, quick, elusive with a lot of speed player at Florida. And, you know, transitioned. He had some success with the Giants when he was drafted. So they brought him in, trying to kind of fill that hole after Tyreek left. Really couldn't get anything going with Kadarius. He's been having trouble even catching the ball there in Kansas City. I don't know if it's too cold for him there or what, but never really manifested the way they wanted it to. So they go out and get Xavier Worthy to kind of fill that spot. Just signed Travis Kelce to that new contract there, extending him and keeping him in Philly. Or excuse me, not in Philly for the next. His brother was in Philly, keeping him in Kansas City for the next couple of seasons. Patrick Mahomes at the quarterback position. Andy Reid is your head coach. Again, enough said. Not really a lot of explanation needed for the Kansas City Chiefs being number one on this power ranking for the NFL. Number two, how about the Philadelphia Eagles? Yeah, look, I know they collapsed last year in the postseason and towards the end of the season. They just kind of just trailed off and looked bad. But look at some of the pieces. They've added depth defensively. They've brought in guys like C.J. Gardner-Johnson to kind of fill in some depth on the back end of the defense. They've really looked at filling up the front seven as well. So he did a great job filling in with depth on free agency so far in the offseason. But also the big get for them on the offensive side of the ball, arguably one of the best offensive players inside the NFL, Saquon Barkley. They pulled Saquon Barkley away from division rival, the Giants. And that is going to be a big, big boost for them. Not only on the offensive side of the ball, but in that run game as well. And that run game has had a tendency of struggling, especially last year down the stretch and into the postseason. The run game did struggle for them. They do want to be a physical team. They like to throw the ball around, yes, but they do want to be a physical team. And having a guy like Saquon Barkley is going to allow you to be physical. You know, it's going to take some pressure off of Jalen Hurts. You know, he's going to have a legitimate running back threat back there to run the RPOs with. So you're going to have to keep a defensive end. You're going to have to keep an edge rusher or an outside linebacker. Somebody like that is going to have to, whenever they try to run an RPO, they're going to have to keep an eye on Saquon. And that's going to open up an opportunity for Jalen to use his legs, which he can definitely do. And it also will open up opportunity because as people come up to try to stop Saquon and stop the run, it's going to open up opportunities downfield with some of those receivers that they have that are very talented. So definitely looking forward to see how Saquon Barkley and this Eagles offense gel together. I think it's a great fit, and I definitely think that that's going to definitely boost that team up. Number three, we got San Francisco. Look, the Niners, they've got some minor concerns, right? They've got a couple of receivers whose future is kind of questionable there with the team. They've got no Eric Armstead. He was released from the team at the beginning of the league year. And Dre Greenlaw is still rehabbing that torn Achilles, so he's probably going to miss the first part of the season as he's still working to try to get back from that. They've got some concerns. They've got some holes, but what they do have is talented players ready to step up. They've got Brock Purdy as the quarterback, and they've got Kyle Shanahan as their head coach. They're going to be in good shape. They're not going to have any major issues outside of these minor concerns that we just talked about. They're going to have players that it seems like every year for San Francisco, we talk about this player leaves, this player retires, this player's out with an injury, somebody steps up. I mean, look at how Brock Purdy got into the game and became the starting quarterback for the 49ers, right? I mean, you have your guy go down and you're going into a game against the Miami Dolphins, and all of a sudden this guy, Brock Purdy, is going to get his first start against the Miami Dolphins and goes out there and shreds them and blows them out of the water and proceeds to continue to do that and look extremely, extremely capable of being the starting quarterback, and even back that up more last year with the way that he played throughout the season and into the Super Bowl for the Niners. So into the Super Bowl for the Niners. I got my years mixed up. I was going Philly. I was like, oh wait, no, Philly wasn't it, but that was the year before. The Niners sitting at number three. I think that's a perfect spot for them. At number four, the Detroit Lions. Detroit, you look at them. They extended the contracts of a couple of players on the offensive side of the ball. Penei Sewell, offensive lineman, you got to have people to protect your quarterback. So they did a great job making sure he was going to be extended and stay on that team there in Detroit. And Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, come on. You that city has fallen in love with Amon-Ra St. Brown. And rightfully so, with everything he's done for them and the way that he plays the game. You got to make sure you keep your top weapon on offense, and that is who Amon-Ra St. Brown is. They've also added some other guys. DJ Reader added him onto the defensive side of the ball. That's going to provide some depth and some much-needed help for them there, too. So look for Detroit. I mean, Detroit had one heck of a run last season, got deep into the postseason. Look for them to take that step. They could be a legitimate Super Bowl contender this year with what they've added and what they are bringing back and signing to make sure so they stay in Detroit. Number five, we got the Houston Texans. Again, this is one of those teams, and we talked about it earlier this week. I said the surprise team for the upcoming season in the NFL would be the Houston Texans. And when you add guys like a Stephon Diggs, when you add Joe Mixon, you've got C.J. Stroud as your quarterback, you go out and you stockpile your defense by using free agency to fill a bunch of holes there. You've got D'Amico Ryans as your head coach. You've got J.J. Watt saying, hey, if you need me to come back, I'll come back. The Houston Texans are setting up to be pretty good this year in 2024. And heading into the year, you've got to make them the favorite. I know that division is stacked with some pretty good players and some pretty good quarterbacks. You've got, Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis. You've got, obviously, Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. C.J. Stroud there with Houston. But the rest of the pieces around Houston that they've put around C.J. Stroud, the team that they have built around C.J. Stroud, those extra guys, especially the guys that they've brought in free agency on the defensive side of the ball this past offseason, I think that's what gives them that edge over Indy, over Jacksonville, over Tennessee inside that division. So definitely looking forward to seeing what they can do there in Houston. At number six, got the Green Bay Packers. Added Josh Jacobs to help kind of bolster that run game. Also added Xavier McKinney as well. You know, so the offense getting some much-needed weapons, some much-needed help there for Jordan Love. And let's not forget, this Green Bay Packers team was playing pretty darn well heading down the final stretch of last year's season. So they can continue to build off of that momentum. They've added some key weapons, like I just said, on offense. You've got Jeff Hafley coming in as the new defensive coordinator. So going to be a little bit of a new energy injected into that defense in Green Bay. So watch out for the Packers this year as they're sitting at number six in this way too early power ranking. Number seven, you got the Baltimore Ravens. Again, good coaching. You've got John Harbaugh as your head coach. You've got a good quarterback. There seems to be a theme here, and it's a theme that's going to continue on as we continue to talk about this, at least through the first nine teams, and that is that you've got a great head coach and you've got a great quarterback, right? Number one, Kansas City, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. Number two, you look at number two with Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts, 3, San Francisco, Shanahan, Purdy. 4, Detroit. They've got a great quarterback head coach combo. Same for the Houston Texans, same for Green Bay. And now we're at Baltimore where, again, John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson. And now on top of that, you add Derrick Henry into the mix. I mean, come on. That offense is going to be incredible. You got Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry in the same backfield. Good luck to defensive front sevens who have to deal with that on Sundays, because that's not going to be easy to deal with. It did lose a lot on the roster, and they lost a couple of coaches as well to some other openings that opened up throughout the league. But again, man, Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh, you add Derrick Henry in there. They've got other key pieces there. You know they're going to be physical. You know they're going to be good. And think about how physical the Baltimore Ravens already were. And you add Derrick Henry, the man who brought back the stiff arm, who will just run you over, the human bowling ball himself. It's going to be bad if you're in Cleveland Browns, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're in that division with the Baltimore Ravens, if you've got to play them twice a year, you better have those cold tubs running well if you are an opposing defense, because you are going to be beat up, battered, and bruised after you play the Baltimore Ravens. That is for sure. At number 8, the Cincinnati Bengals had a couple of question marks heading into the offseason on offensive line, the receiver, at safety. They've done a great job of adding depth at all three of those positions. And the big key here, again, good quarterback play, good head coaching. Joe Burrow will be back and will be healthy. Suffered that wrist injury a season ago. He'll be back, he'll be healthy, and better than ever. And I really do expect Cincinnati to be one of those teams that keep an eye on the Bengals moving into 2024. They're going to be one of those teams that is going to be really, really tough to beat. Buffalo did lose Stephon Diggs with the Bills at number 9 on this power ranking. They did lose Stephon Diggs, but you add a guy like Keon Coleman out of Florida State in the draft. Now, I know Keon has not taken a snap yet, but if you've seen any videos of him just talking with the staff there in Buffalo, or even the media in Buffalo, it is hard not to like this guy. I mean, the guy is genuine. He's sincere. He's funny. He's original. I mean, he's one of those guys that in a world where guys are rolling up with, you know, all kinds of diamonds all over them, all kinds of expensive clothing on and all that stuff, this guy at his press conference was bragging about how he got his coat that he was wearing from Macy's on the discount rack. I mean, the guy's from Mullins, South Carolina. If you know anything about South Carolina, you know that Mullins is, when you say country, oh, that's Mullins, South Carolina. And that's also Keon Coleman. The guy is down to earth and just a good guy, and definitely hoping for the best for him, wishing the best for him in his career inside the NFL. And I think he's going to be a legitimate weapon and a legitimate target for Josh Allen in Buffalo now that Stephon Diggs is not there. So I think having Josh Allen at the quarterback position, again, another team with another great quarterback inside this top 10. It's kind of like quarterback play in the NFL is it's kind of like that's important, right? So I think Josh Allen at the quarterback position, you add a guy like Keon Coleman, younger roster for Josh Allen too. This is a big thing. Younger, a little bit more refreshed, a little bit more rejuvenated look for this Buffalo Bills team heading into 2024. So definitely interested to see how that turns out for them. I know they kind of had an up and down season last year. Started off kind of, you know, iffy. Then they made some changes and looked really good down the stretch. Ended up winning their division. So definitely looking forward to seeing what the Buffalo Bills bring to 2024. And our final team inside this way too early NFL power ranking. This is one of them that kind of did surprise me a little bit. It's the Cleveland Browns, and hear me out. They have a loaded roster. They've got a lot of talent on their roster. Now, if Deshaun Watson can stay healthy and Deshaun Watson can be the quarterback that Cleveland drafted them or traded for him to be, I think Cleveland could have something. Do I think they win the Super Bowl and get to the Super Bowl? No, probably not. but they can definitely be a contender. They can definitely get into the postseason, maybe even win a game in the postseason, really kind of go on a little bit of a run, surprise some people, maybe get to that semifinal round, maybe not quite the AFC championship game, but right there, the game before that. Yeah, maybe. Maybe they could even earn a bye in the postseason. Again, I don't see them being a Super Bowl winning team, but if Deshaun Watson plays healthy and plays like the guy that they traded for, they can be a Super Bowl contending team. And really, even though I say I don't see them winning it, we've seen time and time again that in the NFL, as long as you are a contending team, you've got a legitimate shot at winning it all. I mean, let's not forget, it was a wild card New York Giants team that knocked off Tom Brady and an, at that point, undefeated New England Patriots team in the Super Bowl. Right? That first Super Bowl that Eli Manning beat New England and Tom Brady in, New England was undefeated. And New York, the Giants were a wild card team. So as long as you get in the postseason, anything can happen. And I think if Deshaun Watson plays good, doesn't even have to play great, just has to play good, be the guy that they traded for, I think Cleveland can find their way into the postseason. So that is my top 10 way too early NFL power rankings. Obviously, once we get a little closer to the season, we'll take a look at not only this, we'll look at some more SEC footballs, ACC football, Big Ten, lots of new teams in some leagues. We got Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC. We've got USC, Oregon, and a couple of other teams headed to the Big Ten, which is still bizarre to me. But as, again, we go through the summer and we get closer and closer to the season, we'll talk more about it. That is going to do it for today's show. I am going to wish you a happy Friday and a great rest of your weekend. And, hey, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Hope you have a great day on Sunday. Treat her right, kids. Treat her right. You only get one of them. I'll talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend. This is the Glass Half Full and ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, Jordan Glass.